Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. Good to have you here. Good to have our visitors with us today. We're just grateful to be able to be together. Thought it was going to kind of be a yucky day today, but I think it's kind of turned out all right. As Wes, I think it was Wes that mentioned earlier, that indeed a week ago we were here kind of worrying and wondering what was going to happen, what the day was going to bring. We canceled our evening service because we wanted everybody to be safe. And we prayed about the Lord, you know, watching over us. And indeed, as Wes said, He answered our prayers. But there's a whole lot of folks up north of us that are really struggling right now. A week after the storm has hit, a lot of them still, I think still at least a million or so folks that are without power, and just a real, real struggle for food and so forth. Saw a video the other day on the news of folks that were digging through dumpsters trying to find food. And so, you know, we need to not only continue to keep these folks in our prayers, but there is something actively that we can all do to try to help out with that situation. And we've been through this kind of thing before, so we know what it's like to be without power for, you know, days and even a week or 10 days, you know, and so forth, to be struggling with all that. We know what that's like. We know what they're going through. Okay? A week from this Thursday, the 15th of November, Bobby Goodwin, who is the owner, part owner, and I'm not exactly sure how they do all this thing, but with Robert's Awning and Signs, with Jerry, Bobby is going to be taking at least one trailer, maybe two. I don't remember exactly. He sent me an email, and they're going to be taking a trailer full of stuff up there to help out those folks. Okay, that trailer needs to be filled with stuff. Okay, whether it be water, canned goods, clothing, whatever it is that you have that you can help out with, bring them to the building, have them here by next Sunday, okay, so that we can get those things loaded in that trailer and they can take stuff up there to help out those folks that are struggling. So that's the word right now. They're leaving on the 15th. That's not this Thursday, but Thursday a week. We need to gather as much stuff as we can to be able to help out with that effort. So canned goods, bottled water, diapers, toilet paper, paper towels, whatever. They need everything. So whatever you can gather together, bring it here to the building. And if it's during the week time, you know, that you want to bring some stuff, just call either Jill or myself. Make sure we're going to be here so you can bring it on over. We'll arrange, you know, to be here so you can bring your things here so we can help those folks out with that. All right, so that's an effort that's being done there. For those of you who have not heard, Brother Walter White passed away this past week. His funeral is going to be this Wednesday at 1 o'clock here at our building. So please keep that in your mind, and please keep Gracie and all of their family in your prayers, you know, for them right now. This is a time of deep grief for them, so please keep them in your prayers with that. There was one other thing that I needed to tell folks about. The ladies' Bible class is going to be meeting tomorrow at 9:30 instead of 10:30. Is that right? Okay, so for those of you who are involved in that. So just some things that are going on we want you to be aware of, and I didn't want to forget those things before we got into our lesson. Let's talk about Jesus as our advocate. Do you know Jesus as an advocate? Okay, that's what the Scriptures describe Him as our advocate. I want you to turn in your Bible, if you're not already there, to 1 John chapter 2. John, in writing this particular section or part of his letter, makes an interesting statement here to begin with. He says, my dear children or my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you will not sin. Okay? So his statement here basically is, don't sin. I don't want you to sin. And literally, in the original language, the way this is worded, he's saying, I don't want you to sin not one single time. Okay? So the message, first of all, that John gives to us is, don't sin. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a really great message, don't you think? Oh, y'all got me worried with that. Okay? I mean, isn't that a great message? Don't sin. I mean, it's real simple. It's real plain. Don't sin. Okay? I mean, you know, it's kind of like that, what part of don't sin don't you understand thing, right? Okay? The problem is, somewhere in between don't and sin, we mess up, don't we? Okay? I mean, it is a really simple message, but yet we keep messing up with it all the time. But John here is writing to us and saying, look, the whole reason I'm writing this to you is because I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to sin not one single time. We have a problem, though. See? Though John is stating to us that that should be our desire, is not to sin. To try to live a sin-free life. Okay? We need to understand that needs to be our approach to everyday living. Okay? That's what John is calling us to. The Apostle Paul over in Romans chapter 6 put it this way. He'd been talking about the fact that we are saved by grace, not by following a bunch of rules and regulations, not by anything that we ourselves can do. We're saved by grace. And then in beginning chapter 6 of the book of Romans, he kind of answers this question that someone might say, well, hey, look, if the whole reason we get grace is because we sin, then why don't we just keep on sinning so we get more grace, right? And Paul says, by no means. Wrong thinking. Why? He says, because we died to sin. How can we therefore live in it any longer? You see? And so Paul there is emphasizing to us the importance of us not sinning. Not living a life of sin. And that's exactly what John is telling us. I don't want you to sin not one single time. Stop sinning. Okay? In 1 John chapter 3, just turn over there for just a moment. Look at what he writes in verse 9 and 10. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So, you know, these are some pretty emphatic words here about sin, aren't they? Again, you know, how much simpler does it really come than don't sin? See? And that should be our effort. The writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 10, verse 36, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So, what's the message here that you and I need to grasp and hold on to? Don't sin, right? Don't sin. That's what John is emphasizing to us. My dear children, I'm writing this to you because I don't want you to sin. But, look at what he says next. Okay? But, if anybody does sin. In other words, really what he's saying here is, I don't want you to sin not one single time. But I know you're going to. I mean, that's the reality. Okay? I know that you're going to. Why? Why are we going to? In other words, why is it so difficult for us to hang on to that real simple, again, what part of don't sin do you not understand? You know, somewhere in between those two words, I keep messing up. How about you? No matter how hard I try, somewhere between don't and sin, I find myself stumbling all the time. And it's so simple, a principle, isn't it? Why do we have that problem? Well, the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us this way. He says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." I don't know about you, but that describes me perfectly. There's a struggle that goes on inside me constantly. You see? And that's what we refer to as spiritual warfare. See? That Satan is constantly working at us to get us to sin. And not just to sin, but to fall back into a life of sin. And that's where the real problem comes in. You see? When John is writing and he says, "I don't want you to sin not one time," he's talking about a single solitary act of sin. And the emphasis here is, if you sin one time, then it becomes much easier to sin a second time, and then a third time, and so on and so forth. And so the idea is, just try. Don't sin. But then there's that spiritual warfare problem that we have, that human nature that keeps tripping us up. Well, so are we hopeless? No. We have, first of all, we've got a way to defend ourselves and protect ourselves in this spiritual warfare we're in. And it's called the armor of God. And we've talked about that before. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. The Apostle Paul there says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that in the day of evil you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Right? You see? So God has given us a way to help us in our spiritual battles, in our conflict, where you know, the Spirit is saying one thing and our nature is saying something else, and we're in conflict over those issues in our lives, that God is saying, "I've got something that can help you to be victorious in those battles." And so we've got to rely on what God has given us to help us to do that, so that we won't sin. You see, that's why He gave it to us. But no matter how hard we try, we're going to stumble and fall. You see, one of the things that we have to understand about this whole sin issue is the difference between, you know, stumbling and falling as we're trying to live our life for God and living a life of sin. There is a big difference, you see. And in the first chapter of 1 John, John says it this way, that God is light. This is beginning in verse 5, "And in Him is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and the truth is not in us." And so here he's talking about this idea of walking in darkness is the way that we live our life from day to day. And that's in sin. He says, goes on to say, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son purifies us from all sin." Again, he's talking about our daily walk in life. And then he comes to that chapter 2, verse 1. I write this to you so that you won't sin not one single time. But I know you're going to. In other words, God knows that as we are living our life for Him each day, we're striving to be what He wants us to be the light of the world and to live for Him, glorifying Him in our lives. He knows that we're facing every single day in that walk, we're facing that spiritual warfare. And sometimes we're going to win and sometimes we're going to lose. What do we do about that? That's the real question. See? And that's where the main subject of our lesson this morning really comes in. Okay? Number three on here, or C on your outline, we have a paraclete. Okay? Now, no, that's not a pair of cleats. Okay? All right, a paraclete. That's the Greek word that is used here, and that word means literally an advocate or an intercessor. Okay? We have an advocate with the Father. Okay? The New International Version says, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Okay? The language here and the intention that John has, the picture that he wants us to have from what he's writing is that what we have is a defense attorney. Okay? That's literally what he's saying here. We have a defense attorney, someone who is going to speak on our behalf. What's going to happen is that every single one of us, this may be a shock to some of you, okay? But here it is, all right? No holding back. Every single one of us is going to die. Okay? We're not getting out of this thing alive. Okay? And the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Okay? So we're going to have to stand before God in the judgment. But we're not going to have to stand there alone. See? We're going to have a defense attorney. Someone who is going to be speaking to the Father, he says, in our defense. And he identifies that someone as Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Okay? He goes on further to describe him as the propitiation, or you see, the offering for our sins. And not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. That's our defense attorney. The word paraclete, it's an interesting word that you find in the New Testament, refers mainly to the Holy Spirit. Okay? And is typically translated as a comforter. Okay? Here, John uses it in a different way than it's used anywhere else. And he uses it in that way to describe Jesus as our defense attorney. I don't know about you, but just the thought of having Jesus as my defense attorney brings me a whole lot of comfort. Okay? So those things kind of go together, all right? He's going to bring me a lot of comfort knowing, you see, that I'm not going to have to stand there in front of the Father on my own. That He's going to be the one speaking in my defense. How about you? See? Job makes an interesting statement. If you look over in Job 16, you know, the situation of Job is pretty dire. He's in tremendous distress. All of the things that he has gone through, and to make matters worse, he's had to sit and listen to his three quote-unquote friends try to comfort him in his misery. And all they have really been doing is telling Job, basically, I'm going to paraphrase here, Job, you're a sinner, and if you just repent, maybe God would take care of this for you. You know, you got to admit to what you've done wrong. And Job's going, but I haven't done anything wrong. And so these three friends haven't brought Job any comfort at all. In fact, they've just made him more miserable. And what you read in chapter 16 is Job answering after his three friends have comforted him to a certain extent. Then Job begins to speak. And I want to call your attention to what he says in verse 19. Okay? Job says this, "Even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God, on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend." Wow. That's the kind of defense attorney I want. How about you? You see, I don't know if you've come to this point in understanding this yet, but you are going to need one. Okay? You understand that, right? Everybody understand it? You are going to need a defense attorney. You see? I mean, even here in America, in our law system, you know, there are certain crimes that when people commit them, you know, you go in there to court and one of the first things they're going to do is the judge can say, "Do you have a lawyer?" You see? Because the law and the penalty is so much so that they want to make sure, and the law requires that you have adequate defense to make sure that, you know, everything is done right and everything, you get a fair trial and so on and so forth. So you've got to have a defense attorney. Well, you know, there isn't any penalty for anything you can do here on this earth, anything in this world that you can do that's going to make give you a worse penalty than suffering for all eternity in hell away from God. Okay? So what I recommend to you is get a defense attorney. Okay? Call your lawyer. You're going to need him. Don't try to go before this judge on your own. Okay? Because if you do, you're not going to make it very far. You need a defense attorney. And the best one that there is offering through His blood to be yours. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? You see? Doesn't get much better than that. The best defense attorney we could ever have, who's going to speak to the Father in your defense, in my defense, on our behalf. You see, you know, sometimes I talk to people and it's like, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to God about this. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God these questions. When I get to heaven, you know, when I get to heaven, I can just picture myself, I'm going to be a blubbering fool. You know, I'm going to be trembling and just crying before God. And I think you will too. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of bravado in heaven, okay? Is what I'm trying to say if you didn't catch it. All right? And you can make all the claims you want to right now, but when you get there, you're going to be standing before the throne of God, and you're not going to be able to say much of anything. But you'll have a defense attorney who will know exactly what needs to be said on your behalf. Now, here's another thing you need to understand about one of the differences between our defense attorney that we'll have and defense attorneys that we have, you know, in the world today. And I'm not asking, you don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. I wouldn't want to embarrass you if you ever had to get a lawyer, what have you. You know that lawyers, defense attorneys today, they go into court, and the issue with them is they don't care whether or not a person they're representing is guilty. And a lot of them, they don't even want to know. That's totally irrelevant to them. What their job is to get that person off. That's what their job is. Just get them off. Or at the best that they can. If they can't get them off, the least amount of punishment possible. That's what defense attorneys do. So that's why, you know, you see on TV these folks that everybody knows they're guilty, and they go into court, and the judge says, "How do you plead?" And the lawyer stands up and says, "We plead not guilty." And everybody goes, "What? How in the world can they plead not guilty? Because that's his job. That's his job to plead not guilty, to try to get his client off. Now, that's the kind of defense attorneys that people are. But let me tell you what kind of defense attorney we're going to have. He's not going to plead not guilty. Not on your behalf, not on my behalf. He's not going to plead that, well, you know, unusual circumstances. You know, he's not going to plead, you know, temporary insanity to try to get you off and lesser punishment and all of those kinds of tactics that, you know, human lawyers use. He's basically, I think he's going to plead guilty. Guilty as charged. For you, for me, every one of us. And that's okay, right? Because we are guilty, right? Some of you seem like you're not sure. If you're in doubt, let me just reassure you, you are guilty. Okay? I don't want you to be, you know, again, but take that shock value away when you get up there, okay? You can't say you weren't warned. You're guilty. Okay? And our defense attorney isn't going to go and try to plead our cause and try to make it like we didn't mean what we did, and somehow there are some extenuating circumstances that God should maybe just kind of let us have a pass. Oh, no. Instead, what he's going to do is, guilty is charged, but the penalty has already been paid. My blood has already taken care of those sins. Wow. Wow. Will you find a better defense attorney than that? Can you come up with a better defense on your own than that? No. But that's the advocate that you and I have with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who will not go in and just try to get us off with some lame excuse, but instead knows that we are guilty, but will say to the Father, they are guilty as charged, but that's the reason I died. And God's answer will be forgiven. Given. The debt has already been paid, just like the song that we sang this morning. He paid the debt that we could never pay. He didn't owe it, but we couldn't pay it, so He did. And that's the advocate that you and I have with the Father. Our defense attorney, who will speak to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Do you know Jesus as your advocate with the Father? Do you know Him this morning in that way? If you do, you say, you need to have confidence in knowing that when you stand before the judgment seat of God, Your case is already taken care of. If you don't know Jesus as your advocate, then you will be standing before the Father in judgment on your own without excuse. If you don't know Jesus as your advocate, don't you think it's time that you do? You get to know Him in that way. And that's what we're here for this morning. That if there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus as your advocate with the Father, your defense attorney, you can have Him right now as that. In that kind of a relationship. If you will call upon Him as your Lord, if you will die to the sins that are separating you from God, and have the blood of your advocate, Jesus, wash away those sins. And He will be your defense attorney. when the time of your judgment comes. If you're ready to make that commitment and that decision, you can do that right now this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song as an invitation song, and that's intended for anyone that needs to have sin forgiven, to overcome struggles, whatever your need is. That's what we want to do. And if you're ready to become a Christian this morning, because you're not one yet, then you can do that right now. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone who wants to come up here. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have maybe a private prayer or conversation with him back there. You can go back and see him back there. And the Lord's invitation is open to you. Let's stand and sing.